to the kingdom. Please be blessed as you listen.
And we were in New York. Because they noticed. They were there with us. We did the covers. Wayne, Dane, and Maine. We had just released our book, Test Tube, that does really well with other races. With our people, we can't have it. I said, now, I don't believe the billboard was placed there because somebody was there and heard me say it. I don't know. There was news people there. I don't know. But I believe when we were saying it, when we released the book at the conference, it just kind of released it in the air. And it wasn't long after this. I made the statement at the conference, the most dangerous place for an African American is in their mother's womb. 3 weeks before we had gotten there, the New York Post had just released an article that said in New York City in 2011, there were more babies aborted than born. More black babies aborted than born. This is true in many areas in our country. So I put that out there. A couple of months later, there's a billboard. And here comes Al Sharpton, Leslie. Now guess what Al Sharpton was saying? Guess what he said? You think he said, man, this is an atrocity. What's going on in the abortion industry that they're targeting black women? You think he said that? Nope. No. What's going on with Planned Parenthood that they're accepting donations from racist white people who want to kill black babies? Do you know they do that? They actually got him on the phone doing that. You think he said that? No. He said, pull the billboard down because it is an offense and an affront to black women. It's degrading. And all they was trying to do was bring awareness to the problem. So here we go, guys. We got to make sure that we always on the right side of the issue. If we Christians, we got to represent the kingdom. So, first thing he says is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallowed be our name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay? So, Jesus is talking about forgiveness. Look at verse 14. If you forgive men their trespasses. Now, this could mean a whole group. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, past trespasses, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And I know, I'm telling y'all, in education, I see it on our young black men, young black women, what they've been taught at home. I see it on many of us, even in the church. There are people that hate whole groups and whole races of people, and they say they're Christians, but Jesus said, if you hate people, if you hate a group of people,
yeah,
and we all have tendencies to do that. Somebody cut you off black, they stupid. Somebody cut you off another race, they white, stupid white. Why can't it be because they white? And we got stuff ingrained in our heart, and all I'm telling y'all, man, is when stuff like this happens and everybody's inflamed and everybody's talking about it and everybody's doing marches, you can participate, you can do whatever you think you have to do to bring social enlightenment or awareness, but I'm telling you, guard your heart, because I believe, and this is where I'm going, if the Bible says, if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us to the heaven.
Yeah.
And then, if we go further than that, which really, when you don't forgive over a long period of time, that leads to what's called bitterness.
Yeah.
Bitterness leads to what?
Hatred.
Who knows it? Huh? Hatred. And hatred, what's the end of hatred? Who knows that?
Death.
No. What does the Bible say? Huh? Murder. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Let's find that scripture out. Let's find that scripture out. Turn over to, where is that scripture? 1 John. Go to 1 John. I'm just going to show you right quick. And see, you got to be very careful. Go to 1 John. Let's see. I think it's 3. Yep. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Is everybody there? Somebody read it for me.
Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him.
Folks, listen to me. Listen to me. You start hating people, I know women that hate men.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
I know men that hate women.
Say it.
That's why they treat them so bad. Won't marry them, sleep with them, treat them like a dog. You know? They hate women. While a lot of men become homosexuals, they have no regard for women.
Say it.
They hate them. Mm-hmm. I know women that hate men. In the church. And I know a whole bunch of black folk, Christians, that hate white folk. Can't stand them. Can't stand people of other races. I'm telling you, I know it because the only way you're going to know it is to be the race of the person. Yeah. Yeah. I know it's white Christians that hate black folk too. Yeah. And what about Hispanics? Y'all got problems? I'm sure y'all do. Hating groups and people. It's natural, right? That's all natural. But y'all, the Bible is very clear. Everybody say clear.
Yeah.
Now see, this scripture just put two and two together, and it leads to us saying, if we walk around hating groups, we cannot be a Christian. We have no eternal life in us. Look at it. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. And we know that no murderer hath eternal life in him. That's the bottom line.
Wow.
So, my knee jerk to your Trayvon Martin case. Hadn't heard the tape, hadn't heard the 911, hadn't heard nothing. I'm just news, checking out, hearing what everybody said. Okay. Now here's this little boy going to get some Skittles and a watermelon tea. Minding his own business. Ain't bothering nobody. On his way home, because he wearing a hoodie, some white, what he say on the tape? Creepy, yeah. Can't even say it in church, what he said. Profile this dude, stop this dude, and then kill this unarmed black boy. Right? The world. World is coming to. Black boys can be gunned down in the street by white folk. Alright? That's just my, I ain't even talking about it. That's what's going on in my mind. But the Bible says don't judge anything before it's time. How about get some more information? How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Alright? So I'm just giving y'all just a little bit of stuff that I learned going through this whole situation and checking it. One of the things I learned, and as we're watching the case, then they put the girlfriend on the stand, and man, my heart just went out to her, you know, just a fish out of water, you know, didn't ask to be in that situation. She nervous, unprepared, can't really talk well, and all that kind of stuff. So they put her on the spot. And so I'm watching the whole thing, and one of the things that just really hit me once again, because anybody who knows me and follows the ministry for years know I've always been a proponent of our people, our young people. Like, what in the world are we doing? What's going on with our black girls, with our black boys? Why ain't nobody saying nothing? Why ain't nobody doing nothing? How can we let this happen? What are we going to do to turn this thing around? Because we saw it. We saw what it was leading to.
Yeah.
And so I just looked. I was like, man, this is the black family on display. So dug a little deeper. We found out. Now, you know, in the news, mom and dad been together the whole time since he died in the whole case. Mom and dad. Well, not even hypothetically, it's just truthful. The mom and dad were together for whatever reason they didn't make it, divorced or separated, whatever. So then, that puts him in his house with a mom growing up, boy, which is a problem. He starts causing his mama problems. He gets kicked out of school, steady getting in trouble. He got in so much trouble at this last time, his mama said, you're going to have to go move with your daddy. So I looked up some of the phone records, hearing his mama texting. She's like, look, man, you got to get up out of here. And he couldn't believe his mama put him out. And then he starts up. So now, mom and dad, you know, whatever reason, there's all kind of reasons. Sometimes it's the woman. But generally in our community, generally it ain't the woman. Generally, the man. Something. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So then, you know, if this man could have fought for his home, could have fought to stay there, could have fought to be that influence right there, you know, his son might not have turned the way he turned. Definitely wouldn't have been separated, wouldn't have been going to live somewhere else, because dad would have been right there in the house. He was going to stay with dad and his girlfriend. So I'm looking at this whole scenario, and I say, man. So then I said, well, man, let me learn, just find out just a little bit more about the dude. You know, what kind of dude was this guy? And so then they made some of the phone records, you know, the phone records available. So I just looked at, you know, I started looking at him, and then I automatically knew this guy. I knew this guy because he's the same guy that I deal with all the time in the street as an educator. Anybody dealing with kids, this guy was, he's just a regular black dude. Under the influence of black hip hop music. Who? Lil Wayne, all of the same stuff.
Yeah.
Now on the spectrum, he's a little worse. He's a little out there. And you know, his phone, his text and stuff, I just kind of went through it. And I'm like, I know this dude. Trying to be hard, smoking weed. And the irony of it was, and this why, when you deal with a situation, you cannot pull God out. You cannot extract God. The irony of it was, he was going with a real good girl, Leslie. And she was texting him. He was trying to get a gun. She was like, hey, don't get no gun. Phone records right here. Text them back. Don't get no gun, babe. Bullets ain't got no name on them. Days before. She's like, look, don't go down there and get no trouble. I don't want anything to happen to you. Warning them. He straight talking about, man, I got to go get my hand on a gun. I got to get some weed, blah, blah, blah. Let's get high one last time, this and that. I know this guy. I know this guy on the text when he said, write the name, right now. I know this guy. And to us, this is not a threatening dude. We know him. He's in our family. Me and my wife, we are all the time, and we see former students that just done grew up, got swole up and stuff. And when they out, see, here's the thing. And here's the thing. We just wrote an article. I know people just mad. But one of the things I talked about is, okay, after Trayvon Martin is bad, the dude is dead. I mean, no matter the verdict, he's still dead. But what do you do? Okay, how about teach your sons not to be so profiling?
Right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, we got a problem in our community, and here's the problem. The problem is rights over wisdom.
Yeah.
Let me explain this, and then I'm gonna go a little further. Okay. My son got a right, if he got the money, to buy a 1989 Impala. He got the right of $1,000 a year. He got the right to take $2,000 and put rims on it. He got a right to do that. He got a right to take another $3,000 and put music in. That's a right. Isn't that a right? Okay, now, I'm not raising him to exercise all his rights. I'm raising him to be wise.
Now,
automatically he's a magnet for thieves, for getting held up.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about white folks, other black folks.
Yeah.
You lock your rims up because other people of your color that you scared about. Alright? At gunpoint, getting carjacked in the wrong neighborhood because somebody wants your rims. And your music in your car. Flip side, it's the profilable with police people.
Yeah, say it.
Stop every two blocks. Because you look like you're selling dope.
Yep.
And see, this whole system of civil rights, it is gone. That's what I want y'all to do. Here's homework. Go back and look at the interviews of young black people doing civil rights. Listen to how he, just anybody on the street, they didn't spoke how respectful they were.
Yeah, that's right.
We was over my mom's house at one point, I think we watched an old soul train. And Duncan is just the guard in the audience. This is in the 70s, young people, these teenagers. He'd go out and say, you can ask the artist anything. Very articulate, very respectful. And people can't even talk. I need fire right now. N.A., as we say. And I know it's short, it's text talk. And then you have these standardized writing tests, and they write just like that. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to teach him, bro, get you a car that you can drive that's nice, but ain't nothing that's going to stick out. That's going to cause you problems. See, we teach it right instead of wisdom.
That's right.
He got a right to get F.U. tattooed on the side of his face when he get 18. But is that wise?
Yeah.
He got a right to grow dreads out the ear and have not even comb his hair and say he's wearing a natural, but then he can't get a job. Then we going to sue talking about discrimination.
You need to say it.
Come on, people. Come on. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. We got to get out that game.
Yes.
I'm trying to teach my son how to be gainfully employable.
Amen.
To go through life without getting messed with, you know? You already tall and black. You going to be messed with.
Yeah.
But what, you know? So now we got a whole a million people with hoodies. What? See, Trayvon Martin, man, we're gonna buy you 10 hoodies, man. And then you just, you know, even in the summer, you're walking in the bank, put your hoodie on. No, man. Do y'all understand me what I'm saying? It don't make sense.
Oh yeah.
It don't give nobody the right to kill nobody. It don't give nobody the right to shoot nobody. It don't give nobody the right to do that. But what I'm saying is we gotta teach our boys, we gotta teach our girls wisdom.
Yes.
We gotta teach them how to be wise. We gotta teach them how to win in a system. Okay, here's my thing with civil rights people. If the whole system is so bent against them, why are we not teaching them how to overcome the system?
Yeah.
If everybody prejudiced, why are we not teaching them to win? So y'all, here's where we are. So I learned that, and he was, you know, and then so everybody said, well, the guy Zimmerman, he's a racist. He was a racist and this and that. Well, I found out by him a year before, to speak up for a homeless black man that has been brutally beaten by the white cop in his area. Don't sound like a racist to me. So then, you know, and all I'm trying to do is put something on my mind. Folks, I know this guy. He's been in my school and got kicked out.
Yeah.
My heart bleeds for these guys. We got people like that in our family. Have no clue. This guy had no goal. His goals, I mean, text after text, was to get high, get weed, and get a gun. Obviously, because your dad's not there, you feel vulnerable, you feel scared, and if you're in the wrong neighborhood, guess what you need? Some protection. So maybe that was even all his fault. But that was his thing. And if he had not gotten the turnaround, he would, you know, where does that life lead? We know where it leads. Find out a little more information, and everybody's out in the Skittles and the well. On his guy's Facebook page, he's talking about this drug concoction called lean. Anybody ever heard of lean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Guess what you use to make lean, Leslie? Huh? Codeine. Some flavor. Canned drink. And candy. Skittles. And according to his Facebook page, 2011, he had been addicted to lean. Such an innocent guy. Had been warned by his mama on the bus. We got the text. He on the bus going to where his daddy is because he got suspended. Mama kicked him out. And she's saying, I'm praying. She said, just pray. I'm going to tell you, just pray. Stay out of trouble, Trey. Pray. His girl said, I'm praying for you. Don't get in no trouble. Leave them guns alone. So, and then we've got a generation of young men who cannot respond favorably to authority.
Yes. Yes.
So the text says, you say, well, why'd you get kicked out of school? For fighting, and the teacher said, I hit him. This guy had no problem hitting the book. Okay, so here's the thing. As we get more friends, you go, okay, man, now back up. This dude's dead. But y'all, if it happened like it's implying that it happened, I know guys like this all the time. Guys that are at our alternative school for doing the same stuff, for having the same MO, for having the same mindset. You talk to them till you blow in the face. Man, there's more to life than this. There's more to life than these streets, man. Come on, let's get an education, man. Get you some goals. Where you going in life, man? And all that, they so locked in. They locked into the music. They locked into the dress, the lingo. And what I was going to tell you is the persona that they feel like they got to present all the time is I'm a thug. I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
Man, my wife is out all the time. We run into them. And I do that to scare them sometimes. Because I walk up on them, and they be standing there looking just like they finna just kill somebody. Gold teeth or something. And I was walking to that, I was walking around. Man, who you looking at? What you say, man? You looking at my wife? My wife. And they look at me. Oh, Mr. Long, what's up, man? What's up? The sweet kids. Sweet kids. But bent on the fact, I gotta be a thug. Thug life. How not to be profilable. How do we do that? How do we do that? Summer, Christian camp, all pretty much all white, yes. He's like the only black kid with 500 kids, something like that. Like that, 500 kids. He's like one out of two black people and the other guy was highly mixed or something. He said, yeah. So anyway, when he came back, you know, sometimes stuff almost slip out a little bit, Israel from other people. They have to correct him real bad. And so I remember when we did the orientation for the camp, they wanted all the parents to be there. So we did all these, you know, black. So I noticed like they kept talking to us and being extra nice and re-saying things over and over. And if he has any problem, we'll call you immediately. And if you forget something, we'll have it for him in the cabin. And so then, after he came back, the lady came, ran to my car. Mr. Long, you have raised, oh my God, we thought he would just have so many criminal problems, problems fitting in with the other kids. Just gushing. Oh, he's just so, oh my gosh. He was so. What did you expect? Now, listen, I can get offended at what she expects. Couldn't I? But why would I get offended at that? Because that is majority. What she expects is the majority of what is. Am I lying now? Come on. Okay. I'm almost done. All right, now. So I'm tripping, but I'm watching all these commentaries. And I got to say, I'm listening to our talking heads that represent our race. I listen to the ones that represent conservatism. But one night, we heard, I had said some stuff, and that same night we came home, there was a talking head on TV. And he had some of our people that represent us on there, and really talking about the problems. And none of us was making no sense. It's always blaming. It's always blame shifting. It's education. It's the system. An unlevel playing field. People who don't have the same advantages. Blah 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 blah. All right. And then even in Time Magazine now, and you heard some people, black people say, I'm fearful of my son's life, that he could be going down the street by a white person and what might happen. Well, here's the statistics. Statistics say that overwhelmingly in our community, overwhelmingly, young black men commit homicides at a rate 10 times greater than whites and Hispanics combined. Seriously? No outcry though. Where are our leaders now? Where are our leaders when all this stuff is going on? Ain't nobody saying nothing. This stuff been going on. The black rappers, Snoop Dogg, and them, they call our black women B's and H's, whole nine. L. Sharpton don't get a mic. Jesse Jackson don't say nothing. Black Caucus don't say nothing. Some white dude on the show calling these girls, which was bad, nappy head H's. Oh, boycott him, fire him, kill him, down with him. Snoop Dogg and them get a pass? Then they been teaching our black men to treat them like that.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse. R. Kelly would double up. Y'all know what double up means? You go to the club, you get two girls. And make them be with each other. No outcry on that. Y'all, we got to deal with the real problem. And this guy, white guy, he might be a racist, not a Christian, but he told the truth. He said, the young black homicides at a rate of 10 times greater than whites and Hispanics combined when presented with the damning evidence like this and like the mini Holocaust in Chicago. Right now, this year, hundreds of young blacks have been killed in Chicago. Nobody said nothing about it. Hundreds of African Americans are murdered each year. The civil rights industry looks the other way and makes excuses. They blame guns, poor education, lack of jobs. Rarely do they define the problem accurately. So here it is. The reason there's so much violence and chaos in the black precincts is the disintegration of the African American family. Now, I have to hear a white guy tell me this. Listen, now, right now, 73 of all black babies are born out of wedlock. And the black church ain't saying nothing. We ain't doing nothing. We run our butt test tube that exclusively talks about that. Man, Stonewall, don't nobody want. Y'all, my great-grandparents didn't know nothing about condoms, and the birth rate was 10 times lower in the German birth rate than it is now. Yeah. Everybody knows, educated about condoms, they know about condoms. And one out of four of our girls got herpes. And the CDC statistic came out last year that 50%, y'all black women, listen, 50% of black women from the age 14 to 42 have herpes. 50%. No Al Sharpton news conference on that. Then you start talking about people that, well, man, you know, they be skewing the statistics. How you know the statistics right? How you trust them today? It's the same statistics you trust when they tell you that millions of people died on the slave boat. Right. And even the only people that I hear even trying to counter this, I mean, this is so stupid. Like, they'll take the 73%. Well, he said, well, first of all, Bill O'Reilly, your statistics are off. You said 73% of blacks, young kids are born in single parent home, and it's really 69.5%. I'm like, come on, man. What are we splitting hairs over? Our holes are jacked up. So we tell the race.